The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Hello, I am Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's readings, plural, are from Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius. We've read these before, and I think we've even read them in conjunction with each other. We're not reading the entire chapters that this is from. We're reading just one line from each selection. So, first reading is from Epictetus's Enchiridion, the handbook, chapter 5. It is not circumstances themselves that trouble people, but their judgments about those circumstances. Second reading from Enchiridion 20. Remember that the insult does not come from the person who abuses you or hits you, but from your judgment that such people are insulting you. And third reading comes from Marcus Aurelius Meditations, book 4, chapter 7. Get rid of the judgment and you are rid of the I am hurt. Get rid of the I am hurt and you are rid of the hurt itself. So this obviously is a huge foundation of Stoicism, that many of the things that we ascribe to other people, many of the pains and difficulties that we experience, we either blame external factors or reality or other people, when in reality, then these things are coming from our own internal world. And if we change our internal world, then we also can change the feelings and thoughts that come that we think come from the outside and make our lives a lot easier. So that's not a new concept. But this morning I read an excerpt from Naval Ravikant. I guess this was an interview that he did or a live session or something like that. I don't really know. I got it from this this almanac of Naval Ravikant that just has a bunch of his quotations. And he says something which kind of gave me, I don't know whether to call it a new perspective or a new technique. I don't know how this is going to end up integrating itself into my life yet, but I wanted to share it because this is the beginning of the insight. So let's just capture it on the podcast. So this is Naval Ravikant talking. He says, I highly recommend listening to the Tim Ferriss podcast with Wim Hof. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. He is a walking miracle. Wim's nickname is the Iceman. He holds the world record for the longest time spent in an ice bath and swimming in freezing cold water. I was very inspired by him, not only because he's capable of superhuman physical feats, but because he does it while being incredibly kind and happy, which is not easy to accomplish. He advocates cold exposure because he believes people are too separate from their natural environment. We're constantly clothed, fed, and warm. Our bodies have lost touch with the cold. The cold is important because it can activate the immune system. So he advocates taking long ice baths. Being from the Indian subcontinent, I'm strongly against the idea of ice baths, but Wim inspired me to give cold showers a try, and I did so by using the Wim Hof breathing method. It involves hyperventilating to get more oxygen into your blood, which raises your core temperature, then you can go into the shower. The first few cold showers were hilarious because I'd slowly ease myself in, wincing the entire way. I started about 4 or 5 months ago. Now I turn the shower on full blast and then I walk right in. I don't give myself time to hesitate. As soon as I hear the voice in my head telling me how cold it's going to be, I know I have to walk in. I learned a very important lesson from this. Most of our suffering comes from avoidance. Most of the suffering from a cold shower is the tiptoeing your way in. Once you're in, you're in. It's not suffering. It's just cold. Your body saying it's cold is different than your mind saying it's cold. Acknowledge your body saying it's cold. Look at it. Deal with it. Accept it. But don't mentally suffer over it. Taking a cold shower for 2 minutes isn't going to kill you. Having a cold shower helps you relearn that lesson every morning. Now hot showers are just one less thing I need out of life. And that's the end of the excerpt. Okay, so I guess when I read this, I thought of three things, okay? One, which is just a very, very basic thing, which I'm not going to dwell on because I've been talking about for a while, is radical acceptance, of course, which I just finished reading the book this morning. And one of the things I am trying to work on, to experiment with, is being more in touch with my body, with being aware of what's going on in my body and allowing myself to feel the sensations and accepting them. And I guess this cold shower thing, I'm not saying that I'm even going to try doing the cold shower thing yet, but the cold shower thing is just a reminder of the fact that, like, the instinctive response when you have an unpleasant bodily stimulus is to either try to physically extricate yourself from it or to mentally extricate yourself from it, or at least have that mental tug of like, oh, I got to get out of this, And I think radical acceptance of bodily, of unpleasant bodily sensations, I think can go a long way towards radical acceptance of mental and psychological sensations as well. So that was number one. Number two was a Mishlei pasuk, which actually appears in two places in Mishlei, in 18:8 and in 26:22. Divrei nirgan kamis lahamim v'him yardu chad revaten. The words of the complainer are like blows, like physical blows, descending to the inner chambers of the belly. And I gave shiur on this earlier this year, which I'll link in the show notes below. But the basic idea behind it is that, you know, if you talk to a complainer, and for our purposes, we're defining complainer as not someone who habitually complains, although that you could learn the pasuk that way, but just anyone who is in the act of complaining. So usually if you freeze frame them and you ask them either verbally or, you know, you look into their head and say, why are you complaining? There is this feeling that by articulating my complaint, then I am somehow gaining relief, or I'm making things better, or I'm venting. You know, when people use the term venting, then they feel like I have to let it out because that will somehow alleviate things or make things better. And what Mishlei is telling you is no, it's actually making things worse. Because I really should have reviewed the shiur that I gave, but you know, I think we broke it down into very, very specific ways that it's making things worse. But the basic idea is that, you know, there is, let's say there's a stimulus that is not in line with your desire. Like, let's say it's too cold, right? It's colder than your preference. You wish it were not cold, and it is cold, and that's unpleasant. So if you didn't complain, so then you just feel the stimulus, right? But by complaining, you are basically highlighting the fact that reality is not in line with my desires, and that's bad. Like, you are essentially, like, you're concretizing the victimhood status of reality not going your way and making yourself more miserable. You're also, by verbalizing it, you're making it into an external reality instead of just something in your head, which makes it harder to, like, let go of. If there are people around that you're complaining to, you're spreading your misery to them or having it being reflected back towards you from them. The point, though, of however you learn the pasuk, the point is that Shlomo is making is that when you complain, you're just beating yourself up. You're just punching yourself in the belly. And that statement that Naval Ravikant made about how he says, I just want to read that last part again. Most of our suffering comes from avoidance. Most of the suffering from a cold shower is the tiptoeing your way in. Once you're in, you're in. It's not suffering. It's just cold. Your body saying it's cold is different than your mind saying it's cold. Acknowledge your body saying it's cold. Look at it. Deal with it. Accept it. But don't mentally suffer over it. Taking a cold shower for 2 minutes isn't going to kill you. So he's emphasizing this point, is that, like, you know, or just to translate that into Shlomo's terms here, is, yeah, something didn't go your way, right? And it's unpleasant. But suffering from the fact that it happened is one thing. Then, but framing it and leaning into the mental, to the mental dimension of the suffering by making yourself a victim or by bemoaning the fact that this is happening to you, that's really where the real suffering comes from. And so, you know, it's just, we just do this so automatically that we don't realize how much additional anguish we're causing ourselves by clinging onto this and framing it in certain unhealthy ways, which, again, is the whole endeavor of Stoicism, is to work on that area. And this leads me to my third thought, which is I know this is a famous quotation. I actually don't know if it comes from his book, but a Viktor Frankl quotation: between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And again, that deals with the fact that you don't have to respond. The stimulus and response are not automatic. There are different ways to respond to the same stimulus. And getting into that pause, that space, that sacred pause between the stimulus and response is going to be the key to changing the responses. Now, the reason why I'm thinking about this in conjunction with the Naval Ravikant thing is it's kind of ironic, because I think the way that I've been thinking about implementing a lot of these Stoic techniques or this Viktor Frankl thing is you create an additional pause. In other words, instead of just going from stimulus to response, you pause, sacred pause, catch yourself and identify, what am I thinking and feeling, accept it, And then that opens the paths to new ways of reacting. But the funny thing about the Naval Ravikant thing is he said that by easing himself into the cold shower, in other words, by trying to draw out that the time, you know, then that made things worse. And what he found is what he needed to do is just expose himself to the cold, just jump right in, you know? And I think it's just interesting that like, and this is like, I guess I'll end with this question here, is that, you know, how many things can we do in life to make the experience like an ice shower, okay, or like an ice bath? In other words, let's say, you know, he's saying so much of our pain and fear and comes from avoidance. Most of our suffering comes from avoidance, you know. So like, there is a phenomenon of just stewing in anxiety about something that's going to happen in the future that you have to like encounter, and sometimes you can forcibly just thrust yourself into the situation and then let whatever happens happen. And if you could focus on what is, if the situation is so immersive, like a cold shower, that you could just focus on what is actually happening to the point where it kind of shocks you out of your mental anguish, which I guess is what happens when you take a cold shower, it can create a clarity that you can't get by like mentally preparing yourself. So I guess that's my question here. Okay. This, you know, these podcasts are trying to work it out on the spot also. Right. So I guess the question here is like this: is of these techniques of stoicism that we've been exploring all year, you know, which techniques are going to be better implemented by slowing down and preparing ourselves mentally? And then which ones are going to be more effective by jumping in head first and then allowing the situation to ground us in the sensations and thoughts that we're experiencing, and then from that place separate out our mental framing of things, if that makes any sense. Okay. Again, I you know, I thought about letting this insight, you know, percolate and develop in my mind before sharing it. But truth is, this is the last week of Yeshiva, and we'll talk about what's going to happen to the Stoic Jew podcast over the summer at the end of this week. But I wanted to capture this since I just encountered this morning. I wanted to capture it and just start thinking about it out loud with you. So that is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Link is in the description. As I've mentioned a lot over the last month, we were gearing up for the summer, and I could certainly use your contributions, especially if I'm going to be using the summer to be producing content that I don't have the time to produce during the year. I really want to use the summer to experiment with other content, and the key to doing that is your support, because it's that or tutoring. So thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.